Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
It's Kyle O'Reilly.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
I'm Rocky Asuka Romero.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk, home of Lou Gowen.
Support WrestleTalk.
Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Lou Gowen is, quote the Raven, nevermore.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it. Bro.
But you really should support WrestleTalk, and you should follow them and subscribe right now.
Ollie told me to say this, so I guess it's okay.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Make sure you watch and listen to WrestleTalk.
Or better yet, take just a moment, stop what you're doing, and bask in their glory.
Do us all a favor and subscribe.
Congratulations, you got here. Now subscribe and support. Thanks.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. That's going to take some getting used to. I still nearly said WrestleRamble. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm okay at the moment.
Yeah.
Of course, we stayed up all last night to watch AEW's first ever Dynamite show, which this show reviews, and then we made two videos off the back of it. We went home, we slept for a couple of hours, we came, it sounds like we lived together, we snuggle in the same bed like Bert and Ernie.
If only.
And then we came back into the studio and recorded this thing that you're about to hear. So I'm surprised that I'm functioning so well.
I am a bit tired. I was falling asleep a little bit in the taxi on the way home, like proper conked out for a little bit. But I got home at about 7 a.m. And it was only then I suddenly realized, oh my God, I've been up since 6 a.m. yesterday.
Yeah.
So I've been up for 25 hours. And it was only then that it really hit me. And then I started to feel tired. And then I got into bed and I just completely fell asleep. Did not hear my wife leave for work this morning. And I woke myself up at 9 after only 2 hours sleep. And I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe I'm awake. And I was out. I was out again. And then I woke up about 11:30. And I was like, okay, no, there I am. That's a bit better now.
Back in the room.
Yeah.
Hopefully I can adjust. Tonight I'm going to have a bath. Ooh. I'm going to pop some melatonin.
I'm going to watch.
Maybe some crack.
I'm going to watch The Bloody Apprentice, mate.
Yes!
Oh, The Apprentice is back!
You know what I'm thinking, too?
What's that?
I think I'm going to have a takeaway.
Oh!
Yeah, I'm gonna go home.
Suits you!
Anna's against it. I've already sort of WhatsApped the message. I've planted the seed.
Oh, the seeds are planted.
And I know how to, like, chip away at her willpower.
Yeah, huh?
Because she's very healthy at the moment.
That's how you're in a relationship.
over 3 months of just negging. What you don't want, folks, is a strong, confident woman. You want to chip away at that until she likes you and thinks that you're the best she can get.
And getting takeaways on a Thursday night is a good idea.
But she's being healthy at the moment. She's not snacking at work. This is a big thing, apparently, because you know, she's in an office where people just say, hey, here's like 5 donuts. I'm going to leave them here right next to your desk in your field of vision for 5 hours.
Yeah. And you got to eat them, otherwise they're going to go stale.
Yeah. You've seen me around food. That's why we don't have food lying around in the office.
When we do live streams, we have some food. You will just go and go and go and go and go.
Well, I know my limitations. Like, it's not that I've got strong willpower or anything. I just don't have the stuff that will tempt me near me.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's been very good. And she doesn't want a takeaway. She wants to eat healthy. We've got this freaking organic vegetable subscription box, which is just insanely expensive. And I keep trying to cancel, but we've still got it. And it's going to arrive today. And she's like, we can cook something with the I don't want to cook. I don't want to eat vegetables. I just want some form of fried, beige, bread-heavy takeaway. So I've started to sow the seeds. And I think by 7 o'clock, she'll just go, let's get a Turkish, which is what I...
It's what you want.
Yeah, that's,
yeah, that's what you're after. I thought I'd read this email out because this was specifically requested to be read out on the first AEW Wrestle Talk podcast. And it comes in from your friend and mine, Jem, Ollie Davis' number one hater. He says, hello, everyone at Wrestle Talk. And just this once, only for this email, so don't get too cocky. Greetings to you, Ollie Davis. I'm writing this email to say thank you to all of you at WrestleTalk. I came across the channel through YouTube recommendations in 2016, I think, when it was just Ollie. Roughly around the same time, I fell back in love with wrestling and became a smark, so to say. It was just when Luke joined that I became a true WrestleTalk fan and a member of the SWAF Nation. So make of that what you will, Ollie. All joking aside, as I was saying, I fell back in love with wrestling, more specifically WWE, in 2016, and it's been an amazing ride ever since. I've been introduced to things like NXT, AEW, and even something called independent wrestling. I know, crazy, right? Wrestling was my go-to during these times where I would drift away from the problems of the world and engage in the exciting matches and storylines of professional wrestling. Since 2016, I've fallen in and out of love of the sport. It's been a rocky ride, but the one constant has always been you guys making me laugh with your consistently entertaining content. You were the ones that introduced me to wrestling outside of WWE, and thanks to all of you for that. I experienced such classics as Omega Okada at Dominion, live from my couch. As I've said before, it's been a rocky ride with me in wrestling. I've loved it at times, like when Becky Lynch first broke through as badass Becky, but I've always hated it at times, like when WWE was overpushing Baron Corbin. The point is, you guys have always been there and made me stick with it for the better. Even when I was the Brock Lesnar of fans, only tuning in for the big five pay-per-views, and even when I was only watching the matches I was interested in, I'd still watch and listen to you guys every week. Recently, I had a fallout with a friend whom I considered a brother, and I moved all the way across the world from Turkey to Australia, but you guys always put a smile on my face. Flash forward a few months, me and my friend are back on good terms. Hey. I'm settled here down under, and more importantly, I'm excited for wrestling again. Since NXT debuted on USA, I've been absolutely buzzing about wrestling, and that is all thanks to you guys. I would have quit watching it years ago if it weren't for you two, but now, thanks to you fine lads, I get to enjoy NXT on live TV, AEW debuting on TNT, SmackDown moving to Fox, and so much more. I'm even going to my first WWE live event on the 23rd of September, which is a couple of weeks ago from now, a week before this, where I will hopefully meet some fellow SWAF Dunders or just other wrestling fans in general, as most of my friends aren't into wrestling. And October is going to be a great month for the sport, and I hope it's going to be a good month for the entire SWAF nation. Stay SWAFed, everyone. Thank you for the consistency. Ollie Davis's number one hater, Jen.
So he's a SWAFed underman.
Mm-hmm.
Kim.
And this is in from Dave. This is the email I referred to later on in the show, who said, just got out of work, was listening to your bonus minisode, and was pretty pleased to hear that Jake may be heading to AEW. Been a massive fan since its ECW championship run. Yep, I'm one of the only guys. I think his size, MMA background, and pro-Trump patriot gimmick could be an incredible draw for heat if done right. Glad to see Pete is on the swagger train. Just messaged him because I was excited and hopeful to see where it goes. Thank you for all the hard work as always and making these next few weeks extra exciting with the Wednesday Night Wars. I missed the Monday Night Wars, so I never got to feel this excitement, and now I look forward to enjoy it with my twins. Dave, the guy with the twins that love The Fiend.
Ah, that's cool. I remember them. Yeah, I don't think you want... While like a sort of Trump-loving figure or gimmick for someone would definitely get heat. I think that would be too divisive for a promotion like AEW in its genesis stages. I don't think you want to isolate a large part of your potential fan base by making fun of their political beliefs.
Or do you play it like Bret Hart in Canada, where Hager is the babyface to MAGA hat Trump pro-Trump fans, and he's their heel to everyone else? It's very tricky line to walk across, but I think with some, you know, some good writing and some very smart decisions, that could be a really, really interesting dynamic.
And if not done sensationally, can actually be quite a groundbreaking. You know, like, it's very rare, but sometimes wrestling feuds can progress social narratives and like that. I think that particular thing might be too divisive and would just end up in more hate on both sides.
Could possibly be.
As opposed to United States, Canada, which is more of a, Nugin, kind of.
Or as I like to call them, Mexico North. My favorite Scott Steiner quotes ever. Anyway, let's get into that AEW review. It's our first review of AEW Dynamite, and we're kicking things off giving our sort of overall thoughts on the show itself before we dive into the full play-by-play and all of your super chats. Here is the show. A historic night it was. The Wednesday Night War officially kicked off on October 2nd. You had NXT over on the USA Network putting on what was a killer takeover show. It was, me and Laurie were talking about this in the office when I arrived, that I haven't fully watched all of NXT yet, but having watched the first hour, I was like, oh man, this is a company that is at war. Mm. This is a company that was like, we are at war and we're pulling out all the stops because we do not want to lose this war. We cannot afford to lose this war. Whereas I think the AEW, which I thought was a fine show, and I thought it was pretty good, was a show that was like, this is our show.
Which is probably the methodology they should be doing. I think if you're AEW, you just focus on putting the best product on you can. NXT, I agree. I watched that Adam Cole, Matt Riddle opening match.
So good.
Incredible match. Probably the best in-ring match of the night by quite a long way, actually.
Across both shows, yeah. 100%.
Me personally, for my personal taste, I preferred Cody versus Sammy as sort of an emotional experience. But yeah, in-ring-wise, Cole and Riddle was fantastic. I've watched a few of the other clips as well from the show. So you've got Ciampa's return. Finn Balor's an NXT guy now.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what I mean. It's just like, those are like three big things. And it was three title matches as well. This was a show that was like, we cannot lose this. Whereas AEW is like, this is what our show is. If you like it, tune in next week if you want. We haven't really told you what's happening, but you can tune in next week if you fancy it.
But the problem is, and this is like, NXT did all that, put on a fantastic show. They did overrun, but I haven't seen the last hour, but apparently main event overstays its welcome by quite a considerable margin. But then you get that killer Ciampa return at the end. It's in Full Sail. You're in front of less than 1,000 people, really. And it does, like, as fun as those matches are, it isn't a takeover. And it loses that atmosphere that AEW had. When I was watching Riddle Cole, I was loving it, but I was also, and the crowd were really hot, but it was also a small crowd, and that's fine. But then when you put that up against an incredible crowd, 12,000 people in, where was it, the Capital One Arena,
yep,
in Washington D.C. for AEW.
The home of Daniel Bryan.
And they were all so hot throughout the night, even when, you know, that there were botches and stuff, they still got behind the performers. Like, the difference was very, very stark to me.
I saw someone post up on Twitter. It was Trevor Dame, who's a very, very good wrestling, not so much a journalist, but he's like a podcaster and stuff. And he said that watching the two shows, NXT is the one that feels like the actual alternative because it's in that sort of smaller, dingy arena, whereas AEW Dynamite feels like Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the overall show of Dynamite. If you watched a sort of headline review and that edited review and a live stream and all this stuff, you'll kind of know my thoughts. But when I watched All In last year, that wasn't the show that I was expecting. I was expecting a New Japan level of in-ring wrestling product. And we didn't get that. We got a lot more comedy stuff. We got a lot more high-flying. There was no... I went in there waiting for several Omega Okadas because you had Omega Pentagon, which was a fantastic match. You had Marty Scurll and Okada on the card as well. I thought that was going to blow everything out of the water. But it wasn't that kind of show. It was more in line with what AEW would become, actually, which is interesting. So I went to bed after watching that, and then I woke up. And in the days after, I loved All In more and more and more. Now I just absolutely adore it because it's... I was wrong for having those expectations.
Yeah.
With Dynamite, I had similar feelings. Like, I'm really enjoying this show. I'm loving the alternative. I love JR and Tony Schiavone on commentary. I love all these wrestlers and how you're making them feel like stars. I love, more than anything, the wins-loss record, attention to detail. But with all that stuff, you can't have logic holes.
No.
And there were glaring logic holes. Drive a bus through logic holes. And when you're saying to your audience, we're gonna pay so much attention to detail, and then you don't, you've set that expectation yourself in the viewership. And that, I don't think I'm wrong by saying I had high that AEW missed their own standard for putting on a consistent universe of rules. So the examples are, no one ran down to help Cody, the backstage officials broke up some rules but didn't break up others, and most criminally, really, the DQ. It was a DQ in the main event for the six-man tag.
I've seen a few people defend it, saying, like, well, Omega wasn't the legal man, but I'm sorry, but it's a DQ. Like, in that's a disqualification. The match should have been thrown out. I was trying to think of how they could have fixed this issue. And really, the only thing I could have thought of is if they'd called for the DQ and then Omega and Moxley going to have their brawl and you do the Death Rider through the table. But then back in the ring, you have the Young Bucks say, we're not ending our first episode of Dynamite on a DQ finish. We're going to continue this match, but we'll do it 3-on-2. And then essentially the match is restarted as a 3-on-2 handicap match. And then you don't have that logic hole. That logic hole was instantly fixed, and that's why the match continues. And the non-DQ and the match continuing for another 10 minutes completely killed the crowd a little bit, because they didn't know how to react, because like everyone else watching, they all thought, well, that should have been a DQ.
They were confused.
Confused, actually. There was like this murmur of confusion amongst the crowd. And then it took them a long time to get back into it. They eventually got very hot by the end. So they got into the, because Nick Jackson's so good. And then you had all of the run-ins down at the end and everything. But I think just that one little thing would have completely solved that really glaring problem.
Totally. I mean, there's so many ways around it. You could have had Cody come down and say, I'm going to be the sixth man. You could have them just have a really good six-man main event and then have Moxley run in at the end and cause the DQ, and that's the end of it. And then you can get Ortiz and Santana over, who were really lost in the shuffle of that,
really
that showcasey
were,
bit.
Yeah.
And also, just as an angle, Moxley attacking Omega no longer feels as much as a heelish action, because within the confines and the laws of AEW, there is no, it's not against the rules.
Mm.
It's like in New Japan, it happens all the time. A heel will low blow or use a weapon directly in front of the referee, and the referee does nothing. I'm like, well, there's no heat there because he's not cheating. I'm not getting angry at a cheater because the referee's allowed it.
And then conversely to that, in the Pac Hangman Page, the Pac low blow spot was done behind the referee's back.
Mm.
So, I mean, if low blows are just fine anyway because you're not going to get DQ'd, you might as well have just kicked him in the bollocks in front of Earl Hebner because he wouldn't have done anything.
Well, I think, yeah, that was a really good use of getting heat on Pac.
That's exactly it,
because it was behind
the
referee's back.
That's what I mean. But in the confines of AEW, they've also set up the stall that, like, oh, it doesn't matter if you cheat in front of the ref. Like, Nyla Rose is grabbing chairs in the women's match and the referee not really doing anything about it.
Yeah, so it was just a baffling, but for something that has put obviously so much thought into a lot of elements of their product, it's baffling how they drop the ball on something every segment. I was thinking about it. Every segment, they've got this, like, quite niggly thing that I'm like, And I'm not saying I hated the show, and I'm not writing it off. This was the first episode. And as we've seen with AEW, they are a company that will learn from their mistakes. They will make modifications and corrections to hone their product.
This is a brand new company. And as we were talking about before the show, it's the first company to be at this level in a real social media world, where social media puts everything under a microscope. And really, you've only got two ways. It's a binary option. You either had the best show ever or the worst show ever. And I think that AEW was in a position where it was like, well, okay, this is what we're doing, but we're going to learn from these mistakes. We're going to grow from this. And we're just trying to, so we're putting feelers out of what this TV show is. And we'll work it out as we go. Problem is, you're in a social media world where you can't really afford to be taking that road, because everyone would be like, oh, you've made loads of botches. Not watching next week.
Taking that roads.
There you go.
Yes, I mean, overall, me and Luke gave it a 4 out of 5.
I really enjoyed the show.
Because really did enjoy the show, but it should have been better. By AEW's own standards, it should have been better. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity dog.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
We've got some Patreon Pledgehammer shoutouts to do as well for everyone who's donated $25 a month or more. So thank you very much to Paulie Dangerously Jarman.
Yeah, lovely. Do you want to do the next one?
What does that say? It says the plug socket rake haddock.
Yeah. Woo. The $100 man, CD Horver.
Whoa, nice. The Kessel Run, DX Solo.
Yeah, what a nice guy. Anderson. The Mayor of Painesville, Dan.
Oh, sorry, Pete isn't doing them. The Rocket, Dan. Van Sky.
Nice. Yeah. He's no jackass, Dano.
Whoa. The Beast, Brock Taylor.
Nice, yes. And, Wrestle Talk's personal ring announcer, Rodrigo Benitez.
Hey! And astounding Abdullah Alenzi.
Lovely stuff. Yes.
Thank you ever so much, everyone.
So, we'll start with Jobber JJ, Ollie Davidson's number one fan, said, did AEW do a good enough job to make casual fans come back?
I really think we need to get past this casual fan thing. Someone completely changed my mind in a mailbag question we had for the Patreon, which is that idea of, I mean, maybe I'm looking at it from the lapsed fan perspective, trying to find those lapsed fans that went off in their droves in 2001, 2002. I don't think they're ever coming back. Mm. I don't think there's anything. I don't think they were attracted to wrestling. I think they were attracted to the counterculture programming that was rife at the time. And then wrestling just stopped being cool and they all left and they've never gone back to it. The casual fan thing, to answer your question though, I don't know if they did. What do you think?
I think there was enough freshness there. I think some of the angles were really, really good. I think just Jericho and his, and Moxley and Omega in particular. I think that Moxley and Omega beatdown, but even though I've got my issues with how it was sort of presented as an okay thing to happen by the law, I thought was excellent. And that Moxie Omega beatdown alone would make a casual tune in next week.
Yeah. So, yeah, I kind of rescind the start of my answer to that. I do apologise.
Alistair Gammon said, hello from the IOW. Thought AEW was awesome. 4.5 stars.
It was a really good show. Really, really enjoyed it.
Matt Field said, watched AEW on Fight. I think this second part is a bit unfair, said, as AEW don't care about the UK, which they do.
They very much do. It's like their second biggest target after the United States, even more than Canada. It's just that the forces that be haven't been able to get a TV deal in place in time So, yeah.
That's what I'm, again, going back to that whole, it's the first social media age wrestling company where everything is under a microscope. So if you're not live on the UK, it's instantly, oh, they just don't care about UK fans, as opposed to the wider picture of there's so much at play here that you can't get it on live.
Deej the Second said, I was at the show and the crowd was totally electric.
Oh, yeah.
Well, one of the best things of the whole night, they saved a lot of matches. Like Nyla Rose and Rio, they saved it.
Yeah.
And they made, like, it was really down to the crowd about how good that match got at the end.
We got a very interesting one from Sam Cropper, who said, I was one of the plants in the VIP area when Moxley put Omega through the table.
Wow.
Yeah. And he said, I promise that was not gimmicked glass. That was thick, normal glass.
Wow.
Well, I would expect someone to bleed. When it happened, no one bled. I mean, I think it's very much gimmicked glass. I think you're worked, brother. But that's so cool to be there.
Speaking of which, did you see Jason Mewes leaked the winner of the women's title match?
How?
Because he was streaming to his Twitch channel, like backstage, and he was like hanging out with like Leva Bates and everyone. And Riho was doing her photo shoot for the women's title
before the
match. And then they were like, oh my God, is that live? And he was like, yeah, but I don't think anyone saw it. And then like quickly turns off. Someone sent it to me this morning.
That is so Jay. Yeah.
We'll do one last one for now before we get on with the main show. Just a lovely one from Seth Amphetamines, who just said, two rambles every Thursday. Score!
Yeah. Even a lovelier longer time with the boys. A lovely longer time with more boys. You're going to have all the boys on you on
all
Thursday.
All the boys. You're going to be like Dalton Castle.
Open with some really cool opening credits. I'd seen
I
it before.
Love those opening credits, yeah.
Yeah. So I said my theory is that all the rainbow colours are to promote the diversity and inclusivity of AEW.
Which I didn't pick up on. Mm. I just thought, they're nice colours. And it's explosions and it's dynamite and it's explosions going off with that and just sort of leaving these sort of cloud smokes because it's very appealing to look at. It's visual. It's aesthetically appeasing.
I like to think of them as rainbow farts. I think it's what unicorns do when they eat too much curry. And then this was just like, when it happened, I did get a bit, I welled up a bit. I didn't really show it, but my arms went tingly. And that was just hearing Tony Schiavone's voice on commentary. And he has commentated on wrestling shows. He's done MLW over the last year. But to hear his voice in 2019 on a crowd this large, on a product that looks like this, it just took me back to when I was 10 years old watching WCW. It was a really special moment.
As I said in the review, it would have given the viewers of a certain age a real nostalgia boner. Mm. And this was nostalgia boner. This was having JR, the voice of Monday Night Raw during the Attitude Era, and Tony Schiavone, the voice of Nitro during the Attitude Era. Just, it was great. And actually, I don't want to spend this whole review kind of comparing the two shows. And actually, I don't want to spend these reviews going forward comparing the two shows. But I much prefer the commentary on AEW show than I did for NXT. Even though I love Mauro and Nigel, I actually so much preferred the commentary on AEW, even with a couple of the slip-ups they had and a couple of bits of salty JR. This is dumb. It makes no sense.
Yeah, but you know, he, at the end of the day, he was saying what I was thinking.
I know,
a lot
right?
of the
yeah.
time. So that's nice, like, as opposed to Michael Cole saying, well, this, buzzword, buzzword, buzzword.
Yeah.
Big dog. I agree. I preferred the AEW commentary team, and that's down to one person, Beth Phoenix. Because she adds nothing.
Bless
She's
her
heart. Just there to go, oh, wow. Oh, yeah. My. I want a female WWE commentator soundboard.
Yeah.
Because you could have Renee Young and Beth Phoenix on the same sort of thing. I haven't heard Mickie James.
Oh, my. What a warrior. DJ.
So, yeah, the commentary was absolutely brilliant, I thought. I would have preferred a two-man booth.
Yes.
Because I felt Excalibur got lost in the mix sometimes. But Excalibur is very, very good
by himself.
So good. And hopefully as they go forward, of course, JR and Schiavone I've got a lot of history together. Excalibur can work his way in there too. I'm looking forward to hearing them all together. And then some great shots of the crowd. The crowd are going nuts. The place looks absolutely incredible. It's like if you told 2012 Ollie that there'll be a product like this before the end of the decade, I would have said no.
Nope, it's not happening.
No, I've been burnt once by TNA.
To be honest, if you'd have said this to me to 2016 Luke, I'd have probably said, nah, it's not happening.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, what? Yeah, like Sinclair are going to put money into Ring of Honor.
What, Luke? Impact are going to get another shot. They're going to get another bite of the apple, are they?
So it was so good. And then just to tip it over the edge, Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes are in the front row.
That's Jason Mewes.
Yeah.
And then someone else was like, Kevin Smith's there as well. Like, oh my God, Smith and Mewes are here.
Right in the front row. They were there later to promote their film, Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, which stars Chris Jericho, Le Champion.
And I'm such a mark for Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes that I proper marked out.
Mm.
And like that morning as well, I was already in a bit of a View Askew Universe mood because Kevin Smith had announced Clerks 3 is finally back on track and Jeff Anderson's finally involved again and we got some backers for it. And I was like, brilliant, we're going to finally complete the trilogy that probably didn't need to be completed, but I'm just glad it is.
Yeah, this was really, really nice. It was a nice, like, there's a rich tradition of celebrities in American wrestling shows. And I felt like this did add something. Mm. It wasn't, here's the cast of Survivor. It felt more like, yeah, these are cool people. And that, you know, like when you see Rick Rubin pop up at takeovers in the crowd. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
I feel cooler knowing Rick Rubin watches something that I like.
And Smith was there for the whole show as well. He was at ringside. You could see him throughout the show and he was reacting massively to everything. Like he was really in the spirit of what was going on. It was actually a really, really nice addition.
They weren't the only surprise in the crowd. I wish they did a sort of NXT takeover style shot of this person.
Yep.
Green shirt guy. The guy that you see front row of every Raw, SmackDown, WWE pay-per-view, NXT TakeOver, he chose Dynamite over NXT.
What a huge defection. Well, I mean, maybe he is of your opinion that NXT is a show for marks, and so he's only going to go where the real stars are.
Yeah. So the first match was Cody Rhodes versus Sammy Guevara, and it started off with this really, really nice video package. Just getting over the story of two guys who don't actually really have much of a rivalry, but it's based on wanting to win the match. And I thought this was excellent.
And it told a very nice story that Sammy is saying of Cody, well, he's got so much on his plate. He is the executive vice president of this company. He's sorting out venues. He's sorting out this. He's sorting out the other. And he's also got Chris Jericho at Full Gear.
Yeah.
He's looking past me. And I can now use this as an opportunity to make a name for myself on the first episode, in the first match of Dynamite on TNT. I thought it was a really, really nice story. And actually, I thought to myself, and that's one of my other disappointments I had about this show, which I did very much like, I wanted more of this.
Mm.
I almost felt like I wanted every match to kind of have this build because you said it's very UFC-like.
Yeah.
And I suddenly thought to myself later in the, like this morning, it's amazing that Pac and Paige didn't get one.
Or Rio and Nyla Rose.
Considering how much history there has been building to those matches that they didn't get any video packages, I thought was really surprising.
Just exactly what you've been doing on the Road 2 series on YouTube, that. Because those are superb shows.
Yeah.
And you just need to take those VTs, chop them down a bit more into like a little 2-minute package, play those at the start. And it gets everyone more invested in the characters and the results.
Gives every match some stakes.
Yeah, yeah, really, really good. And then to carry on the momentum, Cody Rhodes and Brandy are the first people out. And it was special.
Yeah, it really was.
Like, to see him come out, the crowd are just going nuts. Cody's welling up. He's like, when Punk came out at Money in the Bank in 2011 in Chicago, he does his big entrance. He's so into it. And then he just sits down. He's just taking it all in. And the crowd are still going nuts. And then he just stands up again and almost does a second entrance and fires it up. And it's just an insane atmosphere. And that's what was here with that added layer of Dusty.
Yeah.
And it was just, and you know, Shivani commentating, it was all really, really nice. And Meltzer pointed out something in his review. He said he never really considered it before, But Cody is kind of tapping into this Von Erich-style babyface where everyone's really... It's a different kind of support. It's like a more... Like, I love Cody.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, CM Punk, for instance, I idolize CM Punk. Cody is more like, no, I love you as a family member.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing character work.
But for me, this match was all about making Sammy look like a star. Mm-hmm. And I think they took a guy who, previous to this, had been in the buy-in for Double or Nothing in a really good match with Kip Sabian, and was in the six-man at Fight for the Fallen when he was teaming with MJF and Sean Spears. And so you took a guy who has just had those two matches and within this one show made him a very credible upper mid-carder and almost main eventer because he was in that mix right at the end of the night.
I'd say upper mid-carder.
Yeah, I'm upper mid-carder as manager with a possibility of sort of like there is a main event push that you could use afterwards.
3 years down the line.
3 years down the line. But it's all about the solid build. Mm. And like in one show, they've already established this is a guy that's towards the tippity top of the card. And he's someone to definitely keep an eye out on.
Yeah, and again, it's Cody having, for me, some people have been like, oh, I don't really like that match. I just love Cody's matches. This was more akin to the Darby Allin one that he had, where he just made Darby look like an absolute star. He gave Sammy so much. So this was a night of botches. Every match apart from the main event really had a botch move in. Even Pac was botching moves, and he is usually just flawless.
Yeah.
And Sammy was maybe nervous. It was nerves.
I think it was nerves.
Whereas Cody's, you know, big match professional, he was fine. But it started off a bit awkward, but the crowd was so into it. And then they started to get really good. And then Cody hit a dive outside. Sammy pulled Brandy in front of him. Cody dived onto Brandy. And then from then on, the last third of the match really leveled up. It was near fall. Spanish fly off the top rope.
His moonsault into the moonsault, yeah. Into the shooting star press. Some really, really great stuff. Kicking out the disaster kick did Sammy. And eventually Cody beat him with a roll-up. A roll-up that protects Sammy because it's not a definitive win, but still puts Cody over in that he's still the number one contender and he should be going towards Chris Jericho. He was the one who got the wily veteran pin on Sammy Guevara. And I thought it was brilliant. And you and I said that the best kind of matches are the ones where both guys come at the end of it come out looking better than when they went in. And this is one of those matches.
Perfect example. And Cody just keeps doing it.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, Cody and Sammy's like, he extends the hand to shake it. Cody goes, well, all right, kid. They shake hands. I'm like, oh, okay, they're going this route with Sammy. Ah, but it was a ruse. Jericho attacks Cody from behind.
Yep.
And Sammy, like, just doesn't help. He walks off. So at that time, I just thought, oh, okay, Sammy's just being a dick.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were in cahoots, as would transpire by the end of the show. And then Jericho beat up Cody for ages.
Long old time, yeah.
Which was good. Hmm. Like, I liked it. It was a good beatdown. Jericho's got loads of charisma. Jericho looks really young.
Yeah, he looks like he's de-aging. He's like Benjamin Button.
Yeah, he's shaved. He's still got the same dad bod, but he looks like Jericho of 5 years ago.
Yeah. More now. Totally. I thought this was a really good beatdown, though. Lots of code breakers. There's no Judas Elbow in this. I think I said there was a Judas Elbow in my review. I seem to recall there was one. Power bombs through the chairs on the outside.
Yeah.
But this is where the question rises. Where were the officials to break this up? Where was Atlas Security breaking this brawl up?
Yeah, so at this point, I didn't mind that because no precedent had been set. It was later on when officials would run in and break up the tiniest scuffle. I was like, well, why didn't you do that at the start of the show?
Yeah.
So, and then, like, some people said, well, you know, they didn't know. Now they're keeping more of an eye on it. I was like, come on. I think it was going on for 10 minutes. It's the co-executive vice president and the champion.
Yeah.
If anything, you should keep those guys apart more than ever. Where's Dean Malenko running down? But what kind of just got me more is that MJF, we've been told, is Cody's best friend. He was out there for Cody's last match against Sean Spears. Blood feud match.
He's advertised to be in his corner against Jericho.
Exactly. And I was like, well, okay, maybe MJF isn't there at the arena yet. Exactly the same stuff we were talking about with Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio and Brock Lesnar on Raw this week. But he was there, and he was in the next match.
Yeah.
So it was Brandon Cutler comes down, and then MJF walks out, does a heel promo. Really good. Really good stuff. All really good stuff. But I'm sitting there thinking, why didn't MJF run down to save Cody?
It's the confusing, confusing maybe is a harsh word, but it's the very muddied character they have for MJF, where he is the best friend of the good guy that we all love, but he's also the asshole heel that is MJF, and he's better than you, and you know it.
Which is fine. I'm really excited about that. That's a three-dimensional character for MJF. But you've got to be consistent with it.
Well, that's the problem, is that you booked yourselves into a segment where he is in the next match, so you can't have him come down and make the big baby face save and then do the heel promo. But that's the corner you've booked yourself into.
It's not even a corner. You don't have to have that match on next. Have that match on as the buffer between the women's title match and the main event.
Yeah.
You know, put it much later on in the night. Have a few segments backstage with MJF and Cody afterwards. It was bad character work. And we call WWE out for it all the time. And I this was the first thing where I was like, oh, I thought AEW weren't going to do that. That's like one of my biggest pet peeves that WWE do. And this is their first episode. What's happening?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in agreement with you.
Yeah, so and then like these continued throughout the night, unfortunately. I'm not saying it's a write-off. I'm just saying it's I'm not sitting here going, wow. And even if everything wasn't perfect, it's not just everything. It's not that everything wasn't perfect. It's that some parts were actually quite bad. Mm. And I would say this is one of them. But we didn't get any ad breaks for that whole opening match, which was really nice.
No, it's because NXT weren't having ad breaks as well.
Brandon Cutler versus MJF just had a... It was more about MJF's heel promo at the start.
Yeah, this was basically a little three-minute match with MJF tapping out Cutler pretty quickly, pretty definitively. It was there to put over MJF.
Yeah. It was also, again, a little bit weird. Cutler had some nice spots. The Fez dive to the outside was really cool. But then he jumps off the top rope to hit some kind of move.
Well, no, he climbs up to the top rope, but his knee gives way because he tweaked the knee while doing the dive.
Mm.
And then MJF tapped him out with the armbar, which we thought was a bit weird. But I have gone back and rewatched it. MJF was targeting the arm all throughout the match.
Yeah.
Like the whole shoulder into the post thing. So the armbar does make some modicum of sense. But it's then weird to do a leg spot as well and make very much reference to the fact that he's tweaked his knee. That's why he can't even get up to the top rope. And then have him win with an armbar.
Yeah. It wasn't effective booking for me. Like, either have MJF just win strong with the armbar and don't have... Like, you know, sometimes you've got to beat someone definitively. And if the aim here is to get MJF over, then just have him beat Cutler definitively.
Yeah.
Don't do this little, oh, my knee, which doesn't actually play into the finish. Unless it was a real injury, I don't know. I thought the in-ring stuff here wasn't that great.
But then this is, you know... Second match in, and three of the four men in here have not had the big TV experience. And I wonder if it was just nerves. I think nerves got to people on this night.
Mm. Then Chris Van Vliet.
I've given up. People keep telling me what it is. And when I say it, people keep telling me it's wrong. So I've given up saying this man's name.
So he's an excellent interviewer of wrestlers. He's got his own YouTube channel. And he's got a job here with AEW. And he's interviewing at ringside Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes about Jay and Silent Bob Reboot, and about Chris Jericho being in the movie. Kevin Smith says some stuff. It's just so cool to see these two worlds merge.
Yeah, it was really awesome.
But then Angelico and Jack Evans come out in their just hideous attire. Their luminous green all-over body suits.
Those are the terrible energy drinks that they are.
Yeah, they're esports.
I mean, although I laughed at Morris Day and the Time Suck, that really made me laugh.
So explain to people why that's funny, because I didn't get it.
But they are a featured band of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, the fifth movie within the Viewersk universe. It's kind of like one of the impetus at the starts when Jay's talking about how Morris Day are great, and one of the kids that they're dealing drugs to says, Morris Day and the band from Purple Rain, they suck. And that starts a fight between them. And then Morris Day and the Time perform at the end of the movie. And it's meant to be this big, like, oh my God, it's Morris Day and the Time. This is awesome. And Morris Day and the Time are great.
So that's that sort of didn't start anything, but Private Party then walked in with some beers, gave the beers to Smith and Mewes.
Yep. And quelled the situation.
Yeah.
And I liked Smith pointing out as well that, you know, and Helico and Jack Evans have come out here running their mouths. You haven't even, guys haven't even won a match in AEW yet. Mm. And just the fact that they had Kevin Smith say that line was like, oh man, that means Kevin's... I mean, he clearly doesn't. He's just fed that line. But it was like, that means Kevin Smith watches this show week to week. That's great.
It was cool. This was fine. It was a nice way to get the guys on the show. I thought the celebrity involvement was really effective. This was good.
Yeah.
I would then have a match after this. They had a run of bits now, which really I think should have been spread out more throughout the show. It was like, here's the skit hour.
Yeah.
Here's the match hour. I'd schedule it all around a bit. And it goes to this vignette outside the White House of Scorpio Sky doing a really quite good Barack Obama impression.
Yeah.
And Kaz and Christopher Daniels are the sort of security men who are also very funny doing this all the time.
This felt like it was here because Scorpio Sky can do a really good Barack Obama impression. I thought, well, we're in Washington, so we may as well film it.
Mm. Yeah, and that's fine. Yeah, if he can, that's a good use of those guys. Yeah. But just from a production standpoint, this is so nitty, but I don't see the point of it, is to go from that segment to then them live on the ramp immediately after.
With Schiavone,
Tony Schiavone, and they're talking there. And they announce the news that it's going to be Daniels and Kaz being the tag wrestlers in the tag team tournament, not Scorpio Sky. Which, I just... Have one or the other. Yeah. Have the skit or the interview.
Have the skit announce that news, or don't do the skit and announce that news up on the stage without the skit, because then it led to the Lucha Brothers brawl as well, who are actually on opposite sides of the brackets, which kind of perhaps sets up the fact that they could either collide or they're going out first round and they'll have a match later down the line.
Yeah. It's nice how they're keeping a lot of plates spinning feud-wise.
And it's stuff that I'm excited for as well, because Lucha Brothers versus Kazarian and Daniels, yes, please, mate. I mean, to be honest, like that...
Ladder match!
I don't think I could do another Lucha Brothers ladder match. They've had too many matches this year that's made me feel wildly uncomfortable because of the crazy stuff they do. But I just think every lineup in that, of those brackets for the tag tournaments, makes me go like, oh man, I want to see that. Mm. Oh, really want to see that.
Yeah, so Pentagon is awesome as always, 0M, and they have a little scuffle. And the officials immediately come out and pull them apart. Dean Malenko's there.
Well, it was the power of the mullet that I think really broke this up. The mullet and Tash really broke this fight up.
But that just makes you ask, where were they for the Cody Jericho brawl? Then there's some shots of Jericho and, I've written LAX here, Ortiz and Santana talking backstage, and the Elite are also sort of going over tactics. And then we get Hangman Page versus Pac.
The match we were meant to get at Double or Nothing. The match that I saw at WrestleGate Pro in Nottingham, which kept getting shouted out during the show, which I was like, hey, shout out to Nottingham, which we're going to be at this coming Saturday, doing a live episode of Wrestle Talk Live.
Yes, we're going to be reviewing Friday Night SmackDown in this format, but live in the ring.
Oh, in an actual wrestling ring.
Yeah, it's good. I don't know. We need chairs. So this was a good match.
Really good.
For a TV match as well, this is a very good match.
But loved this match.
It's not the best match they can have.
No, but yes, because you save that for pay-per-view.
I said at the time, I think this is a pay-per-view level show. First episode.
But that's it. They weren't treating this like it was a pay-per-view level show. They were saying, this is what our week-to-week TV is going to be like. Because you could argue about NXT... They can't do that show every week.
Mm.
They can't do a takeover show every single week on the card. Whereas AEW said, this is the show we're going to do. It is a 4 out of 5 show, and we're going to consistently do that every single week.
I think that's wrong. I think you can have an excellent match with Pac and Paige here, tell them to go out, burn the house down, and it'll be fine. And it won't affect the product. In fact, it'll enhance it. But they didn't do that. They had a very good match. And it's awkward to say, to be down on these, because it is really good. But given the quality of the two guys in the ring, I wanted more.
Well, that's the thing. But it made you want more, which makes you want to see more, which makes you might want to buy a pay-per-view and see more.
It did make me want more.
Okay, well, I'm going to disagree with you in this one, because this did make me want to see more. And it's made me want to see another match with these two, because this feels like a really hot feud within the because this has been a feud that's been started since January, the AEW launch party that they did in Jacksonville. and we're leading through now to October. I really want to see these two clash on pay-per-view in a full match with no ad break interruptions and with a finish that doesn't involve bloody Earl Hebner being the Ray Charles of referees. Paige did a tweet that was like, who hired Earl Hebner?
Yeah, it's so what happened at the end, referee sort of gets tied up in the ropes, Pac low blows Paige behind referee's back. Paige is down, holding his balls for ages. Hebner's just looking around going, well, I don't know what's going on here.
Don't know what happened there, mate. No. You're
which,
right.
You know, which is like, which is fine.
Pure, and like Earl is so good at it, and like he's the perfect referee to do that spot with because he is a referee that understands I'm not supposed to be looking when the heels are cheating. Mm. I'm meant to be distracted elsewhere.
Yeah, and he I think he got over enough that, look, I know something's gone wrong here, but I can't do anything because I didn't see it. It's out of my hands, unfortunately. So Pac, then he hits the black arrow, then
the brutalizer.
Does Paige tap out or does he just fade?
I think it's because you can't really tap out. Yeah, you have to scream.
He
like
screams, yeah. Yeah. So that puts Pac at 2-0 wins and losses, beating Paige, beating Omega.
And for my money, I want to see Paige beat him. I'm now invested in seeing Paige beat Pac and be the first person to end his streak.
I'm not, but that's good.
Yeah.
And then we got a Full Gear promo, and then Rio versus Nyla Rose.
Hmm.
Britt Baker's out there for no commentary. You know, like how some people come out for commentary. She's there for no commentary.
Yeah, she. I'm not sure it's because. I'm not sure it's because we were just talking over it, but I'm not sure if she said anything during the whole match. She might have said a couple of things here and there, but she really didn't. It felt like she was out there to scout the competition as opposed to be out there to provide commentary.
I almost wish she was sitting nearer the championship belt. I don't know.
The tiny championship belt.
Yeah.
Don't want to trip over that, do you?
Yeah, it's a tiny belt.
It's a dainty belt, isn't it?
I don't know how they thought they were going to give it to Nyla. I thought they gave away the result more than Jason Mewes live streaming.
And this match was... It was not a smooth sailing match. There were botches here and there. And this match was really saved by the crowd being so behind Riho and wanting to see her win. And I think by Riho herself, because she's such a good babyface in peril and she makes such a good fiery babyface comeback that it helps the crowd get more amped up. And it really built to a fantastic final third to this match with its near falls and everything like that. But you can't ignore the quite sloppy first third and then that really long STF spot, which Riho effectively passed out from, and Nyla just let her go.
I forgot about that. That was weird. Yeah, exactly.
I think it was in an ad break.
Yeah, and if it didn't go live.
But I wonder if that again is because we saw it because on fights we don't get the ad breaks. We literally just keep seeing the live feed, so we get to continue watching the match with no commentary. But again, is that just that's inexperience of working on live TV?
Yeah, because when Rio passed out, she passed out in the STF from Nyla Rose. And the referee went like that.
Yeah,
and Nyla
we both
Rose
said, oh, it's over.
I was like, oh, that's it. And then they just went to the next spot, which was Nyla setting her up for a powerbomb, but Rio's meant to tip her over her back, but they both crumbled. They couldn't do it. It was a botch. And it's like, ah, that's two quite significant missteps to each other.
But to give credit to both women in this match, I think that every time that they did make a mistake, which there were a fair number of, they always recovered from them. They didn't just simply repeat the spot. They would just pick themselves back up, like, great, cool, let's go to the next thing then. Or, like with Nyla, when Riho tried to give the backdrop and they all just fell down, Nyla laughed and she with a reaction of just like, mate, that was a silly move, wasn't it? That was an error.
That was really, really good by Nyla.
Yes, yeah. That's quick thinking.
Yeah, and the crowd just was so into it. And botches do take me out of it, but they don't. I know some people, a botch happens and they're like, you effed up, and it completely takes them out of the action. And I don't really mind it that much. I'm like, oh, that's unfortunate. Yeah. Oh, well. What annoyed me more was, as you said earlier, Nyla Rose, this is for the inaugural Women's Championship. She's on top. She's beating Rio around the ring. All of a sudden, she starts getting a chair from under the ring. And the referee's like, no, don't do that, or you'll lose.
Yeah.
And she'll go, okay. Still tries to hit Rio. Referee takes it off her. Nyla Rose walks around the corner, gets more chairs out. I'm like, But what are you doing? This is...
What's your grand plan here?
This is bad booking. This doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
AEW, you're meant to be better than this.
Yeah.
And it was all a very contrived way to get Nyla to do a very impressive senton off the top rope, off the apron, and Rio moved out of the way and she crashed and burned on the chairs.
And again, easily fixed when Justin Roberts was doing the ring announcement when he said there's no time limit and also there's no disqualification. We want a definitive winner.
Mm.
You know, you have that one line in there and all of a sudden Nyla grabbing chairs, you're like, okay, that makes sense.
And then I'm like, oh my God, Nyla in a no DQ match, Rio is screwed.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks to the crowd, really, because they were, I don't know why they were so into it.
It's because Rio's amazing.
It must have worked very well from a live crowd perspective, because I was enjoying it, but they were.
Yeah.
They were like laughing, guess. I want the Kool-Aid. what they were handing out. Maybe it was in those towels they all had, the crowd.
Yeah.
And the final third was really quite thrilling. And Rio won.
Yeah. Really, really enjoyed it.
With she like hit a knee V-trigger to the back of Nyla's head, then a double one to the front. It was a really cool finish.
Yeah, really, really cool.
And then Michael Nakazawa comes down and is like, way, well done.
He's going to interview her in Japanese, but then Nyla attacks both of them. She tries to lift Nakazawa for the powerbomb, but sort of drops him there. Brilliantly covered up from commentary by JR and Tony Schiavone to cover up why she dropped him down, but she eventually hit the powerbomb on him. They continue to beat down Riho, and Kenny Omega came down to make the save. I really could have done without this, only because we've already had Chris Jericho beating down Cody. We had MJF not letting go of the hold on Brandon Cutler. We had Pac not letting go of the hold on Adam Page.
And cheating.
And then we had Nyla doing this beatdown as well. I'm like, all right, heel he. I get it. And I said it on the live stream. It took me back to the Baron Corbin mid-card vortex era of WWE earlier this year on Raw, when it was just heel heat a mania running wild. And every match was like, we've got to get that heel heat.
And that's how the show finished as well.
And that's the biggest angle.
Absolutely.
In which case, if you're going to do that as your big angle, don't do it in your other three matches or your opening match and save it all for the main event.
Speaking of, after saving Rio there, Omega was back out and then came out and did some comedy with the Bucks.
Yeah.
They had a really cool opening, which was like a Being the Elite Marvel comic book flicker ident for the start. And they came out. It was so cool to see Omega and the Bucks out there. And I'm so into them as an act. And then out comes Jericho, Ortiz and Santana. I'm like, oh, God.
So ready for
I
this.
I cannot wait for this match. Six-man tag. And it goes about 3 minutes. And a great 3 minutes as well. I was really...
Because Kenny's great.
Jericho did some great heel work where he tagged in and it looked like him and Omega were going to lock up, but then he just tagged right out. You could see it coming a mile away, but it still worked. And then incredible Young Bucks dives to the outside. Kenny's in the ring. Boom, 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 boom. He's setting up for the Terminator. I think someone missed their cue. It took a while. Everyone actually getting into the ring as a surprise took a while, I'd say. They need to figure out how long it takes to run to the ring. And in a great piece of camera work, Omega's there looking at the camera, and then Moxley appears behind him. It was cinematic.
It was really cool.
And that's right. That's got to be Kenny's doing that.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
So within the way he thinks about wrestling visuals.
And then they had the brawl, which did not end the match in a DQ. They brawled through the ring. Kenny hit him with the mop, so the cleaner, John Moxley. And they did the Death Rider through the glass table in the VIP area.
It was an excellent beatdown.
Really,
really,
wicked,
really liked it. But that was the end of that, you know, then it carried on. I'm like, I was really enjoying the six-man.
And I was really excited for that six-man as well.
And now it's not like, don't give the really good stuff away on TV when you can build to a pay-per-view. Because this is a six-man. That's what you do give away on TV. And you don't give away those singles matches that you traditionally build to on pay-per-view. So I was just like a bit, you've subverted my expectations in the wrong way now.
Yeah, and then they continued having the match, and it was just Santana and Ortiz and Jericho beating down the Young Bucks. But because of the way the match was structured, it didn't allow Ortiz and Santana to show off what they can do. And they're such a great tag team. that it wasn't the strongest in-ring debut for them in AEW. And then Jericho picked up the win with the Judas Elbow.
Yeah. After an excellent Nick Jackson hot tag.
We joked in the live stream that every match up until this point had featured some form of a botch, apart from this main event. There could have been 10 botches in this Nick Jackson hot tag, but he's so quick and he's so fast, I wouldn't have spotted them.
He's incredible.
He's amazing.
So Jericho wins, and then the heels continue to beat down the Bucks. Moxley and Omega are just wiped out, by the way. They don't factor into anything. And then Cody runs down to get his revenge on Jericho from the start of the night. And then Sammy Guevara runs down. Cody turns round, low blow straight onto Cody.
Yep.
And then you're like, oh, okay, so this... there's no officials for this one. And like, so no one's going to break this one up. So, but the bell was ringing. That was fun.
Yep. And then Dustin runs down to make the save to a huge pop.
Oh my God. The crowd went mad for him.
They reacted like it was Dusty Rhodes himself coming down.
Punk is returning. But it isn't. It was Dustin. And he clears house really effectively.
Yeah.
He's standing tall. And then Jack Swagger turns up.
Jake Hager. Yep, he Jake shows Hager. Up. And, yeah, we talked about this on the highlights, lowlights, midlights video, that he was part of that Forever Midcard era of WWE, and I don't know if he's done enough on the outside of that to not really get rid of that midcard stink.
So there are plenty of people in WWE who were positioned as mid-carders who were far, far better and had a lot more fan support than their that warranted more of a push, more of a main event thing. You look at the mid-card in WWE now, you know, like Finn Balor, Cesaro, Rusev,
Aleister Black,
tons of them.
Ricochet.
Yeah, and it goes back to 2005, really, of these sorts of under-push people because they're not... WWE, for whatever reason, don't see any value in them, or not as much as we do. And AEW is kind of a company that's founded himself on recognizing the potential there. Cody Rhodes, Sean Spears,
Moxley.
Moxley. Well, Moxley was a main eventer, though.
But he had his one main event run, and then after that, you were like, you are the person who feuds with Seth.
Yeah, but...
And we're going to put you in comedy stuff.
Comparing Ambrose to Cody and... you can see there's a difference there. And they've made Cody and Ty work very, very well. But I always thought, Cody, you're amazing. I love the mustache. I love the beautiful gimmick, the stuff with Damian Sandow, and Ty Dillinger, one of the most over people in the company at one point. He had a load of stuff going for him. I never thought that about Jack Swagger, and maybe that's just me. And that's really all I can talk about as a perspective. But this just, I felt like this was a very TNA move. And I mean that badly.
I am going to look at the positive side of this. When me and Pete did the mini news episode about Swagger possibly coming in, Pete was talking about how he was a fan of Hager. And I had several emails after that episode had gone out and the podcast had gone out saying, like, I'm really glad to hear that Pete was a big fan of Swagger, because I was also a massive fan of Swagger and felt that he was underutilized. So perhaps I'm also looking at it from that perspective of just like, there are people who wanted to see Swagger do more. But there are also people like you and I that just saw him as the forever mid-carder that he was. I am going to look at this and be like, hey, they've done a great work with Spears. They've done great work with Cody. They've done great work with Sammy on this one show. They've done great work with Moxley since he's come in. And with Paige and things like that. So I'm actually looking forward to seeing what they can do to establish him as a top guy in this company, or as an upper mid-card guy in this company. So I'm excited to see what they can do with him. I think he's got a good look. I think he's got good intensity. And I think we're going to see a different side of him now, because now he's more of an MMA guy. I'm looking forward to what they're going to do with him.
And the crowd reacted.
Like it was Punk.
Amazingly. Like that monster pop for Dustin, Hager got more.
Yeah.
So, and you're right, he did look freshened up. He looked more violent. He looked so much bigger than everyone else.
Yeah.
He had a new look. I hope I'm going to be proved wrong. I don't think I will be, though. I think where they're going to go is a feud with Hager and Dustin. Hager kept on targeting Dustin. I think that's what we're going to build to for a pay-per-view match, probably. And essentially, a Jack Swagger Gold Dust match in 2019. That's 2008 mid-card WWE.
I was going to say, that's an episode of Raw. Actually, that's an episode of ECW in 2008.
Mm. And it doesn't thrill me with excitement. And I need to keep calling him Hager. The last visuals, because the camera was all over him, kept showing his face. He was meant to stare menacingly into the camera, and he did. But he also looked around the ring for cues, and that just... Moxley wouldn't do that. When Moxley arrived, he was fully in his character. He wasn't thinking about other things because he was there. But Hager, he was sort of like looking around, and it's little things, but it just implies to me that he's not the performer that they need. And it's just I do think you want to limit the amount of mid-card WWE guys you suddenly bring to your company and then push.
I'm also saying is, do not expect your Tony Khan check to clear this month.
Oh, well, yeah, right. But overall, I did really like the show.
Doesn't sound like you did.
the start of the show, I think you can go back to the first hour, really. I loved it.
Hour was so good.
But then I was just slowly chipped away when I realized this isn't the product I thought they were going to put on a logical product, and they haven't done that.
That was a real shame, yeah.
And I also thought, I'm very excited about it still, and I hope they can change the things that I didn't get on with.
I am looking at the positive side of here. Steve here has had an effect on me over the last few months. That this was AEW setting out their stall, and this is what the weekly TV show is going to be like on a weekly basis, and I'm in for that. Maybe I'd like to see some more promo work. I'd certainly like to see more video packages to kind of hype up the matches and give them some stakes and introduce people to the wrestlers, to the casual fans, as JJ was talking about earlier. But the less logic holes, I would be very much appreciative of. But I thought the standard wrestling, for the most part, was very, very good, very, very strong. And I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to be on TV for next week, the week after, Full Gear, and going forward.
Well, let's see what you guys thought on the Super Chats.
So we'll start off with the ones about AEW brackets general. Clifford Miller said, I gave the show a B- to a B, told my friend, and he told me I need to go back to bland WWE. Thought AEW set the bar and can only improve from there.
Yeah, that's it. If this is like, this is what an average show looks like, then you can only go upwards from here. Mm. Whereas, as I said, like with NXT, you've set out like, we're going to do takeovers every single week. As soon as you don't deliver those takeover shows, people will be like, well, what happens?
I'm of the opinion you want to start with a bang. So I've got the opposite viewpoint of that.
I could dynamite.
James Krause says, Jay and Silent Bob to AEW confirmed.
Please have a match.
That'd be amazing.
Rich Hardisty said, I loved how the camera work harkened back to the WCW style.
Yeah.
It did feel like a WCW show.
Yeah.
With logic holes and all.
Beth BC says, so not a perfect show, but I will watch next week. People need to realize one TV show series premiere. It's the first TV show series premiere. I'll be back next week.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that.
I get that as an argument, and I do agree with that. But at the same time, it is your season premiere. It is the first episode, which is why it should be, you know, the best it possibly can be.
And to that point, there's been a lot of talk. I found it very interesting looking at the chatter about it this morning, that AEW was far surpassing NXT in terms of Twitter trends, which obviously that doesn't translate to TV ratings or... So none of this is like, this translates to TV ratings, but it's a very interesting metric to look at. Not only did it far surpass them on Twitter, PlayStation view numbers were huge. The Google searches for AEW Dynamite were so far and away above what NXT was doing, it wasn't even close. Mm. Like, it wasn't like, oh, there's a couple of 20,000 in there. No, this was like far and away bigger. To the point where people are now wondering whether AEW is going to beat NXT in the ratings quite substantially. And
it's out later today.
It's out later today. But if this is the show you presented, is that audience going to be sticking around for next week's show and the week after?
Yeah.
Matthew Shield said, I enjoyed this 10 times more than Raw and SmackDown.
I enjoyed it more than this week's Raw.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely.
Garrett Lippy said, was it just me or was the commercial breaks and timing very off with AEW? Let me know your thoughts. Keep up the consistency.
I thought the ad breaks and stuff were all right, actually.
Yeah, I thought they were well-timed, actually.
Yeah.
Alex Jordan said, creative entrances to AEW, not confirmed.
Yeah, they don't have good themes.
No.
Ziggy Gamma said, in the crowd last night, favorite matches was Cody versus Sammy and Riho winning. We had all of the Kool-Aid. Botches were plenty, but still enjoyed the show.
Yeah. Ah, that's good. And what an experience that must have been to be there live.
Totally.
We got one about the women's match. Deja Second said, match of the night for the live crowd was Riho Rose. Bought into every false finish and genuine elation when Riho finally pulled off the win.
Yeah, I was really chuffed when Riho won.
It's amazing how well that worked for a live crowd. For a TV viewer, I think the Sammy Cody match was terrific.
We got a few about the main event and all angles surrounding that. Sam Cropper, who's the guy who came in earlier to say they were the VIP plant, said Kenny was bleeding afterwards.
Okay.
Promise.
Right. Well, maybe. I mean, that's very foolish then. It should have been a gimmick table.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be putting people at that angle through glass when you can have the exact same visual effect and make it safe.
Yeah, exactly. It's the gimmick chair all over again.
Matthew Scheel said, the main event match should have been a DQ and then have the Bucks grab a mic and say they want the 2-on-3 handicap match. That would have made it less confusing.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Completely agree.
Ziggy Gamma said, popped huge for Jake Hager. I grew up watching him.
God, that makes me feel old.
That's what I mean, man. I think there are, you know, there is a generation of kids who did grow up in that 2006 era when you and I were very jaded on the product that are now going to be looking like, oh no, those are the people that I wanted to see pushed.
Mm.
They, maybe, Swagger is our Christian.
Yeah.
When Christian went to TNA because we were like, oh, I really wish Christian had got a bigger push in WWE. And he went to TNA and he became a champion there. We were like, see, TNA get it. TNA know what to do with Christian. WWE never did.
Hmm. Maybe.
We got a few about NXT and AEW. Matthew Bacon said, NXT versus AEW is a thing. WWE versus AEW is not a thing. Bye, Vince. Just deal with the main shows and watch ratings.
Yeah, I can see what you say there. Like, the main roster is just not going to bother itself with AEW. We'll see if that changes, though, if based on the ratings over the first month.
Mm.
Bullet Club said, NXT was way better IMO.
From what I've seen, it was an excellent show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic show.
Have you watched AEW yet?
No, I haven't yet.
It'd be interesting to see everyone's thoughts.
Yeah.
We watched them all.
Yeah. I know Laurie seemed very down on it when he was watching it.
AEW?
Yeah. Ooh. Just from like the overall presentation and stuff. It's like everyone's just got really generic music. Everyone's logos are really generic. And I don't think he was that into Sammy or the presentation of the show at all.
Stanman222 said, the demon Finn Balor defects to AEW. Wait, never mind, that was Sammy Guevara. I don't know.
He wears a panda to the ring.
Yeah, no, I don't see that comparison, I'm afraid.
F-Scorpion678 said, I think AEW fans desperately wanted it to be the better show that they willingly ignore glaring issues. NXT was the better show overall.
I think there is always going to be that. I think if you've got those brand loyalties, which I think is a fool's game, then you are going to forgive flaws because you just want it to be the best.
DC for life. Tribalism.
Martha was fine.
Jamie Levin said, for me, NXT was a better watch, but that's due to story build, which AEW hasn't had the time to do yet. I really enjoyed the moment Cody and Tony had.
I disagree on that slightly, considering that the Cole Riddle match had no build. One week. Yeah, less than a week, really. Which is they had one angle together and then built to a title match. Yeah. Whereas like that is something that could have had 4 weeks worth of build. Same with Baszler and Candice.
Yeah.
Like they didn't do anything on last week's show to build that match, even though they had the opportunity to do so.
And Cody and Sammy felt like a really complete story because of that video package. It's a real shame they didn't do that for more.
We actually have a super chat that came in on the Raw live show, but accidentally wasn't sent across to you. Oh. So we'll read it out now. Comes in from Sean Turner, who said, did you hear Seth yelling, Jan, when the Fiend attacked? And then, can Ollie do a Seth being choked by the Fiend and yelling John and then deleting his Twitter.
I really wish you wouldn't look at me when you did it.
I'm going to delete Twitter now.
Now you just sound like Bane.
We'll
go on to the miscellaneous ones.
Bane.
Miscellaneous super chats. Ace comes in to say, the Snapple Center doesn't allow masks, so I worked 4 months on my Fiend cosplay for nothing. Looks like I'll just take my support WrestleTalk sign tomorrow.
Oh, thank you very much. What that was for SmackDown tomorrow.
SmackDown tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh, what a pain. But yeah, wearing masks can raise security concerns.
Start Recording said, if AEW do get the rights to use War Games, who would you guys like to see compete in the first version?
I mean, we set it up on this show. It's Cody, Dustin, Bucks, and Kenny versus Hager, Jericho, Santana Ortiz, and Sammy. You've already got your 5-on-5 there already.
I didn't actually talk about that either. I'm not a fan of mishmash heels.
But I don't think it's... Because you and I both said it feels a bit mid-card vortex. I'm not sure this is a mid-card vortex. I think this was just heels standing tall. It was heels, we are friends because we are healed, but we are not a team. We are not a unit.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I think it's quite lazy.
Yeah.
So that as a closing visual, I thought was... It'd be much better to just, you know, end on a stronger visual, like Moxley putting Omega through the table or Hager just standing tall. You know, just...
Seth Amphetamines sends in a super chat that he also sent on the NXT stream, but you weren't there, Ollie, so sending it again. Hey, Ollie, I have 5 out of 6 The Front Bottom studio albums on vinyl. Thought you'd be interested. I sent it on the NXT stream like a dummy.
5 out of 6 of...
The Front Bottoms.
Oh! No way!
Yeah.
Oh, they're a great band. Well, no one else thinks so.
Well, that's 2 fans they have.
Yep.
Me and you. Front Bottoms for life.
We were joking on the live stream, Pete, that my new way of getting really easy heat is just to say very definitive thoughts about music, because someone's bound to get really upset about it. It's just like, anytime I see you Fosnow, I'm going to be like, oh, that's their one good song. Because I know it'll anger at least someone. And Ollie's is now just like, that Raw theme's very generic. Skillet's a very generic band.
Joseph Gonzalez says, just glad to be part of this historic WrestleTalk Live. Love you guys.
Yeah, well,
thank you for joining us. Yeah. How's it comparing to the NXT views from earlier, out of curiosity? How many people watching NXT concurrently?
That'd be very...
We can have our own ratings war.
Okay.
NXT was harmed a bit just because, like, it's not at the usual time, whereas this one is.
Yeah, I'd say it was harmed pretty significantly because of the time. Didn't have many super chats either. That got about 1,000 peak. Currently, 2,200 for AEW.
We'll see how that changes going forward when people get more accustomed to the schedule.
Craig Pinn said, Luke drinking a huge cherry Coke on the live stream and putting over Canada. Take my money.
It's because Canada's the greatest.
We'll get to the super chats that came in after I started reading the other ones now. We have got... Hold on. Wait. There we go. Me said, was it just me or did AEW give off real Attitude Era vibes?
A lot of dick kicks at the end in the brawl.
Mm-hmm. And a Death Rider through a glass table.
I don't know about... It was exciting. I don't think that necessarily means Attitude Era.
Well, I mean, it was also full of logic holes, which is very Attitude Era.
Start Recording said, who do you see winning... this is about WWE now. Who do you see winning a title first between the 205 Live trio of Alexander, Ali, and Murphy?
Ali, I think.
Alexander. He'll win it at Hell in a Cell.
Good point. Oh, God.
If another match gets announced, we are 3 days away from that show and still only 3 matches on that card. It's going to be a very quick night for you, Pete, doing the live stream.
WWE again.
Yeah.
Sean Turner said, how long before Tony Khan makes himself champion? Anthony Rodriguez says, to be honest, I really think this episode lacked storytelling.
I think it's with that big beat down at the end to say that it lacks storytelling. It's a bit harsh.
I think it's more you just didn't like the stories.
Yeah.
Which I can, you know, I empathize with.
Jerry the Hero comes in to say, "Hey Ollie, thanks for the heart on my comment. Anyway, can you guys review on a what? I can't read this.
That must be bad, because Pete can usually read everything.
Yeah. It's quite confusing. I think he's saying, okay, so there's a guy who's just wrestled on an indie show who's also a YouTuber. Full match can be watched on their YouTube channel for free. It's from Funhouse, who's a gaming channel.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
the one that Laurie really likes.
Yeah. James Angel, apparently, I think, has just wrestled on an indie show. So they're saying, can you review it? Probably not.
But maybe we'll ask them if they want to do a collab.
There you go. That's where the money is.
I'll make a note.
Jose Rivera Valentine said, even though I was brainwashed by WWE back in 06, I still don't get excited for seeing Swagger. Just curiosity, really.
Mm. Yeah, same. I'm not excited about him as a wrestler, really.
Hey, I mean, he looks like Biff Tannen, and he's a big Trump supporter, so there's just so much like correlation in there, because Biff Tannen, Back to the Future Part 2, was a big Trump parody.
Me Only Me Again said, do you think WWE is trying to go back to 2006 to 2008 by making NXT like ECW and SmackDown on Fridays?
Going by the Goldust Hager feud, I think AEW trying to go back to 2006-2008. No, I
just your circumstances.
So. Yeah.
Conman167 said, Canada really is the greatest. Keep up the great work, fellas.
It's absolutely true. It's such a beautiful country.
It's the SWAFT contingent in Canada there.
I would honestly, I would think about moving to Canada. It's a wonderful, wonderful place full of so many lovely, lovely people.
When it's so big, you're bound to get a few nice parts. my mum and dad just got back from holiday there, actually.
I know.
And they kept on sending me pictures. And every picture, and my mum's a terrible photographer, every picture she sent me looked like a work of art.
The
it seemed impossible to screw up that landscape.
The pictures she sent me were also very good.
Oh, there we go. Well
Boom.
Played. Walked into that.
And finally, thank you to Beth BC and Tim Arndt, who super chatted but with no message.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all so much. I believe you had a bit of a difficult Uber ride home.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, so we finished up about 10 to 6, hopped in the Uber, and the Uber driver said to me, whoa, it takes 21 minutes to get to yours. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. It usually takes half an hour in traffic from here, and there's no traffic, so 21 minutes sounds about right. And he went, I thought it was 10 minutes away. I said, no, it's not. It's Walthamstow. It's going to be around 21 minutes away at this time in the morning. And he proceeded to drive there, trying to get as close to that 10-minute time as possible.
That's nuts.
I have never rated an Uber driver anything less than 5 stars. Because why would you? It's like giving a podcast on iTunes less than 5 stars. But this guy was so reckless. I was white-knuckling in the back. He ran 3 red lights. He was driving on the wrong side of the road. He was overtaking on corners when you can't see.
Oh, mate, that's ludicrous.
And, like, there was very few people on the road, but still.
Still reckless driving.
Ugh. And it was just, I get motion sick playing freaking Mario Kart on the SNES. Think I was in the back of this.
The only time I've ever really badly rated an Uber driver, because like you, I'm just like, yeah, 5 stars, you know, they've all done a fine job. And actually, most of the ones that take me back home after our late night live streams, I tend to, because I fall asleep in the back of their car. So I think it's just polite for me to give them a nice review, because I slept in the back of your car, mate. You effectively gave me a bed for an hour. But when my wife and I got a taxi to Heathrow Airport, I can't remember where we were going. Well, I mean, apart from Heathrow Airport, our taxi driver, I'm convinced, was falling asleep at the wheel. And like, because we were on the M25 and I could just feel him veering every now and again, and then just like quickly jump back into his lane again. And my wife was crapping her pants, because she's a bit of a nervous passenger at times anyway, but particularly with a reckless driver. And I was like, mate, you are not fit to be driving.
You said that
this.
To him?
I mean, I did in my feedback.
Didn't
say it to his face.
Oh, I sent him a strongly worded letter, of course.
Well, I'm British, and did not leave him a tip either. And ever since then, we've only ever used Addison Lee if we're going to do airport transfers.
Have you? Well, that's very fancy of you. Very spenny, as the kids might say.
Spenny?
You never heard of Spenny?
Absolutely not. I'm 33 years old.
Mate, that's far too Spenny. Whoa, not doing that. It's Spenny.
That is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
It's expensive. If you haven't figured it out.
It's also about the same syllables.
Ray Holt say that?
Yeah, we said
BRB.
BRB. It's be right back. It's the same number of syllables.
That's a good point.
It's a good point.
Yep, so here is the Urban Dictionary definition of spenny, pronounced spe-ny, means pricey, short for expensive. Here's an example. Sure, I like that place, but it's kind of spenny.
I would say that only pricks say that.
You calling my lady partner a prick?
She doesn't say that
I think
word.
She says it to annoy me.
But that's fine, then. I think using it ironically. I think she's trolling as well.
But then I was out with her and her friends, and I joked, oh, let's not go there. It looks well spenny. And then someone went, yeah, it does look a bit spenny. I thought, oh, no, you didn't use that ironically.
But let's end on this lovely, lovely email. This comes in from Stephen, who says, thank you both for the sweet comments on today's video. We were driving in the car listening to you guys live and we heard our names. And we were like, whoa, no way. My wife and I are Stephen and Giovanna. My wife and I are hyped for the biggest week in wrestling and even more WrestleTalk context. So these are the people who sent us in the limited edition Firefly Funhouse box that we are going to do an unboxing video of this coming Sunday. Sent to us by this beautiful couple, Stephen and Giovanna. We've got a photo of them on our set. Mm-hmm. We're going to create our own little wall of friendship. And yeah, there's a little follow-up email from Stephen here. He said, a little bit of context of how we found you and who we are as fans. And spoiler, we're now mid-card pledgehammers. I watched wrestling for 10 years straight from 1998 to 2008 and loved it. However, at the end, the following events really stung me. The limo botch, Chris Benoit, Hornswoggle being the illegitimate son of Vince McMahon, the new ECW, the dawning of the PG era. After all that, and only a TV viewer, no community or dirt sheets, I stopped watching for over a decade.
See that? I went to TNA.
Yeah, I did the same thing. Yeah. I mean, I was very much already in that TNA camp at that point anyway. But this period of time was making me go like, I'm so glad I'm in the TNA camp. Then years later, a friend of mine told me that CM Punk was a main eventer now. He did a pipe bomb, forced me to watch Money in the Bank. I was back and I loved it. I watched everything those few years, except for SmackDown, of course, till I found out Punk was really gone, AJ Lee would follow, Daniel Bryan had to retire, and Undertaker had lost the streak. I wanted Punk to win the year prior. I was done again. Then I saw an advertisement for WrestleMania 2018. I decided, heck, it was time for a free new subscription on the WWE Network. I had time off. I'll jump in and see what happens. I thought the show was pretty cool. Surprised Brock and his 10-year-old won titles in the same night, and hey, Kurt, Ronda, Angle, Triple H, and Stephanie had an okay match with lots of hype. But in this time of my life, I had no one to talk to about the show. My wife thought it was okay, but wasn't into it yet, and all of my friends stopped watching in 2014. More brackets. They are excited for AEW, though they want CM Punk to do something this week. Oh, sorry to hear about that. Not a thing, mate.
Please. Maybe on SmackDown.
Maybe on SmackDown. So after WrestleMania 2018, I literally went on YouTube and looked for a review of the show to see what the internet community thought. I wanted to dive into this wrestling world once again. That's when I found Ollie Davis screaming sweet truth and Luke Owens' wit and insight. I have consistently watched all of your content from then until now. I say we because my wife was dragged into it by osmosis and enjoys listening to your shows more than WWE itself. We've even missed a whole month of Raw and SmackDown before the Bischoff and Hogan and Heyman announcement, but still kept up with your content happily. I instantly, when I was saying Bischoff and Heyman, said Bischoff and Hogan. Because I saw a H, and I'm so used to saying those two as a pair. It was. It was like my wife and I were in an abusive relationship with WWE, hoping it would be different and better, but it wasn't. Throughout this time, you guys were like our counselors, breaking everything down and making WWE funny and more entertaining than it really was. Without you, many people wouldn't even watch WWE, so since Vince won't pay or support you guys, we will. Happy you're enjoying the Firefly Funhouse box. We haven't opened it yet, but we're going to be doing the unboxing this coming Sunday, and excited to be part of your $25 mid-card patrons. Six more to go till you reach the 1,000 at the time of writing this. That's because you pledged when Patreon was ticking everything over. So we're back over that 1,000 threshold again. Sorry for the lengthy email. Just wanted to share our gratitude to all the things you do and by inspiring us to stay focused on our personal and business lives. With love, Stephen and Giovanna. P.S. Can our pledgehammer names be the power couple, Stephen and Giovanna? Something cringy like that. Haha.
Definitely. Oh, that's lovely. Yeah. Thank you ever so much. Thought we should also probably talk about another bit of content we're doing. Going to do that classic thing where I actually don't know what's going on and have to ask you on air. The Screen Stalker Podcast.
Yes. Yeah. So as of next week, the Screen Stalker is getting a podcast.
What about tomorrow?
It might be able to set up tomorrow.
Joker.
Yeah, it might be able to be set up tomorrow. Definitely as of next week. But I've got like all the, I'm doing it when I get out.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know how long it's going to take them to set the feed up.
Okay, cool. I don't think they can hear us when we do this.
They're fine.
Because, you know, we're going to review Joker tomorrow after seeing it at lunchtime.
Yeah,
and we're going to live stream that on Screen Stalker's YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Definitely launching Screen Stalker podcast next week.
No, as of Monday, yeah.
As of Monday. But maybe for Joker, depends on the feed. Okay.
So yeah, well, nothing really going on actually.
No, exactly. But you know, do keep an eye out for Screen Stalker in your podcast feed. It might be tomorrow. It might end up being Monday. It's all up in the air at the moment. I need to do
How
some...
will it just pop up?
Well,
will it pop up as like a trailer on the WrestleTalk feed, and then say, "Hey, come over here, subscribe."
Well, I would likely release it on the WrestleTalk podcast feed, especially because there's no episode going out on a Friday. To be like, and you can listen to that and future episodes over on Screen Stalker.
Nice.
I learned that trick from Talking Simpsons. When they launched their What a Cartoon podcast, they released the first episode in their Talking Simpsons feed, where they got thousands of subscribers, and said, "Hey, we've just launched this new podcast. When you go and take a listen to that as well." Very clever lads. That's why they get a lot of money on Patreon. And that is all we have got time for on this edition of the Wrestle Talk podcast. Thank you ever so much for listening. What's the schedule looking like? So, Joker review will be out tomorrow on the Wrestle Talk feed and possibly on a Screen Stalker feed as well. Then on Saturday, you're going to have the highlights, midlights, and lowlights of SmackDown's debut on Fox with Laurie and Pete. Then you're going to have me and Ollie do a full breakdown of the show live from Nottingham inside a wrestling ring.
So that the audio quality will sound different.
Yes, it will sound different, but we're hoping that it should be fine. So that will be the SmackDown review. Then on Sunday/Monday, you will get the Hell in a Cell highlights, lowlights, and midlights from Laurie and Pete.
Cool, blimey.
And then on Monday, you're going to get the full Hell in a Cell review from myself and Ollie and the launch of the Screen Stalker podcast.
Holy moly.
Holy moly. And then it's Raw, NXT, AEW, and... So I suppose we should probably say now, no predictions video this week because...
Oh, crap.
Well, they've only announced three matches, so how do we even do a predictions video?
That's a very good point.
If you're one of our Patreon pledge hammers, the form is up there available. There are only three matches on there and the bonus question, and Andy's just going to have some ad matches if they get announced. Or is it just going to be those three advertised matches and then the rest of it will just be filler that they just do on the night?
Yeah, that's very Paul Heyman way of booking a pay-per-view.
That's actually such a good point. That is a total Paul Heyman way of doing an ECW show, yeah. Maybe this is the way they're doing it now. It's like, why build eight matches when we can just build three?
I think it's because they've had a very loaded week.
Yeah,
and
totally.
They've just spent it all.
So that is how your schedule is looking like for the next week or so. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.